There are two types of people that have trouble learning the Dhamma. The two types of people are those that interfere with their mind, control their mind, force their mind, interfering with the truth. The other type are those that are just lost in their thoughts all day long. When we've been controlling our minds too much, then when natural and normal things come up, we don't feel the emotions that are supposed to come up as a result of them. So this isn't too hard. We have to learn, we have to understand that thoughts of ours, our thoughts are not what learn the truth. There's something else that learns the truth. Our thoughts are already dirty. They're already tainted with old ideas and old thoughts. In order to learn, to truly learn, we have to see the truth that is there right in front of our eyes. We can't learn the truth by thinking about it. A lot of people who've been studying Buddhism, they think the first thing they have to do is sit in meditation. Actually, meditation was around long before the Buddha. A lot of people have this idea that the mind is something that's already good, already pure. They think that we have to find this true self or this pure mind. And then they try to find it, explore, look for it. That the mind is already something that's bright, light, and happy within itself. And that might be true, but it isn't intelligent. The mind is still ignorant. It's been stained and tainted. So many people think that if we're able to make our minds or create our minds to be beautiful, bright, empty, that's not the way. Because the heart is still tainted. It's still dirty. Don't you notice that when you make your mind nice and bright and happy and empty, that when you finish the practice, you end up going back into daily life and your mind is dirty and stressed and has all the defilements it always had. See, it's almost like somebody who's addicted to drugs. We become addicted to a beautiful state or empty state in meditation. And then our mind loses that beautiful state in the regular world, and then we think we have to go sit and meditate again to get it back again. It's just like a person who's addicted to drugs. They're addicted to meditation. The truth is, people that are addicted to meditation become annoyed and bothered by the world. They're not able to accept the world or cope with the world in a happy way. They just want to be in their meditation, in their empty space. So this really isn't something you can rely on. So let's, instead of doing this, let's open our hearts really, really wide so that we can learn something new. We can learn something fresh and new and not be just stuck in our old ideas, our old thoughts, and our old states that we've created and thinking that that's correct. Let's stop trying to hold the mind still, and instead start watching its true movement, its true workings. Come to study it, to learn it. Become the observer. Then we'll see the truth, the true characteristics of the body and mind. We're not practicing to make the mind still. If we learn the truth of the body and mind, if we're able to see the true characteristics, the true mental and physical phenomenon, there'll be a new type of happiness that arises. Just knowing or seeing the mind that is busy in thought, the mind that sees that is a mind that is peaceful and calm already. It's that easy. There isn't anything that you need to control. All we have to do, we don't have to do any sort of creating or forming of any states or realms with inside. We just see the mind as it is, and the mind will be calm and peaceful on its own. We don't have to try to make a busy mind go away, for example. Just see it as it is. Know it as it is. A busy mind isn't something that is permanent. It can't sustain, it can't persist. Right? So if the mind is dark or in a daze or in a low energy state, all we have to do is see that. If we're able to have the mindfulness that knows that, then that darker or low energy state will disappear. And the mind will be light and bright. We don't have to close our eyes to have the mind bright. When the mind has the correct samadhi, then we don't have to sit there with our eyes closed. We can be walking, eating, brushing our teeth with our eyes wide open, and the mind is bright and calm and peaceful in its correct place. And this mind will see whether happiness arises, whether unhappiness arises, whether good or wholesome mental states or bad or unwholesome ones come up. It'll see everything that just comes up and then it goes away. And it won't refuse or reject the negative things that come up, the things that it doesn't like. And it won't try to keep or hold the things, the phenomena that it does like or does want to keep. All pleasurable and unpleasurable feelings, all good and bad mental states, come and go, and there isn't any love towards them, and there isn't any hatred towards them. The mind starts to become equanimous or impartial to whatever arises and falls. The mind struggles now because it is not neutral, it is not impartial. We struggle because we like this and we don't like that. We want this and we want that. We hate this and we try and push ourselves away from the things that we hate and try and move towards the things we like. This is causing our suffering. The way that we can develop to get past this struggle is not to hold the mind still or practice to keep the mind still. This just means we like peace and we hate a busy mind. So we're still stuck in the world of opposites, the world of pairs. But we practice the samadhi that is able to see the mind as it is. We see happiness come up, it stays only temporarily, and it goes away. Unhappiness or unpleasant feelings come up, they stay for a moment, and then they are gone. Whether the mind is greedy, whether the mind is deluded, whether the mind is angry, it comes up and then it passes. When the mind is able to see the truth that everything is temporary, everything just comes and goes, the mind will start to become impartial to all phenomena. It won't reject anything. It won't try and hold, love, or keep any of the good things or feelings that pass by. We're struggling all the time because we only want and like this. We crave this feeling, and we don't want that feeling. We crave this situation. We reject and push away another. Every phenomena is the same in the sense that it is impermanent. When the mind is powerful enough and is able to accept the truth that everything that arises also falls, there'll be a huge amount of suffering that is washed away from the heart. The heart will not waver because it knows that whatever happens is just a temporary phenomenon. It sees happiness and it doesn't go out to try and get it or keep it because it just knows it's something that's going to pass away anyway. Things, negative states that come up, these negative states that come up are also temporary and just pass away like everything else. The mind doesn't waver or struggle with it. So we keep watching and seeing the mind. One moment is good, the next it's bad, the one moment it's happy, the next moment it's not. When we arrive at the true realization that everything rises and falls and nothing is permanent, there'll be a permanent type of happiness that arises. This permanent type of happiness is something that doesn't need to be maintained or kept. It doesn't matter what we are doing, where we are, what we're thinking. This happiness is one that remains. It's a very different happiness. This happiness from wisdom, it's a very different happiness than the happiness of practicing meditation. Right? There's the happiness of seeing beautiful women or liking songs or liking movies. This type of happiness is a very poor quality happiness as compared to the one that has let go of the world and has been able to see that everything arises and falls, is temporary, and truly accepts the truth of this. You can't even compare the difference between the happiness of somebody who seeks happiness through meditation or through worldly matters versus one who has enlightened to levels of the truth. One who truly sees, looks at regular worldly happiness as something that isn't really worthwhile trying to achieve. It's just a happiness where we're attached or stuck in the world. It's not a happiness from freedom. There's no freedom there. The mind that is happy from meditation still depends on the meditation for its happiness. It's reliant. It depends on things to be a certain way. But a mind that has achieved true wisdom and enlightened isn't anything that needs to be kept or maintained. It doesn't go away. It doesn't need to be sought once it's achieved. So if we're still looking for the happiness of the world, then we're still far away from the Buddha. The word Buddha, or Buddho, means one who is awake, one who is the knower, and one who is expanded and fresh and happy without any need for maintaining it. It's happy within itself. So let's learn in a new way. Let's start to become aware. When Longpa was a young boy, he was able to do, he learned samadhi or calmness meditation. He learned when he was very, very young, and he became an expert at it very, very quickly. All he has to do is just pay attention to his breath just for a split second, and it immediately enters deep concentration. He says, But for regular people, when you, even if you're that good at deep concentration, you go into it, you feel happy, and then you come out of it, and you don't feel as happy. So we're looking. So this type of happiness is even far lower type of a happiness than the happiness of something that doesn't need to be maintained, doesn't depend on any situation to be in any particular way at all. So this is, see the mind, this is what people in the world do. They do this meditation holding an object, holding their mind at an object, sticking it to the object, trying to be happy there. Oh, that feels great. But then what happens is their mind in the world, it separates out from that object, and then it struggles and is moving around again. Says that's a very shallow type of happiness. It's a very shallow thing to do as compared to true wisdom. With true wisdom, there's a different type of samadhi that occurs. It's an extraordinary type of happiness that is peaceful within itself. There's a freedom of not depending on the world or any particular mental or physical state to be there. See, we become a slave to meditation. If we like to hold our minds in a particular state, we become a slave to it. We need it for our happiness. We're not. Now, if we're able to put our minds in a nice, peaceful state and not hurt anyone and this kind of thing, then we're a good world citizen. We're often a better world citizen than other people. But that's all. That's still very shallow compared to what's available and what the Buddha teaches. See, a lot of us think that we have freedom, but we don't have freedom. We're not liberated. Really, the mind is caught in a very narrow space, a very claustrophobic space. Mm-hmm. We don't realize that we're this slave. We're a slave. When we're a slave and we don't even know that we're a slave, then we'll never be free. We'll never be liberated. Our owner or our master is this mysterious master. This mysterious master is desire and craving. Makes us want to see, makes us want to hear, smell, taste. We want to feel things with our body, and we want to think and come up with different ideas in our head. Mm-hmm. Right? We have some craving for something tasty, and then we have to go after it. We think that if we get to eat what we want to eat, then we get a little scrap of happiness. So it's sort of like a lion that's been tamed or trained to jump through a hoop. And then you get a, everybody applauds and you get a prize, a little moment of happiness. Right? This desire, which is our master, it orders us to do this and to do that. Gives us these little scraps of happinesses when we're able to achieve what we desire or obtain what we desire. But then when we're not able to obtain what it is we're desiring, then we have suffering come up, unpleasurable feelings come up. A lot of people just think that we're special or that we're great people, but if we take a look inside, we see that we're just, and we think we're free, but if we take a look, we're just a slave to our desires. Mm-hmm. So we're in the world, and the mind, as desire, orders us to see a movie, to listen to music, and we get a little bit of happiness from that. If we're not able to do that, if that's what we want to do now and we're not able to, then we have unpleasant feelings, suffering that comes up. Take a good look, and you'll see that there's desire coming on all the time. Almost all the time there's a desire in the heart. We'll see this desire arising almost all the time. So those of us that think, hey, I'm great, big egos, I'm good, I'm not going to believe anybody or listen to anybody, I'm going to do what I do, and basically you're just being a slave and don't even know that you're a slave. You're a slave to your own desire. And it's punishing you. Your master is punishing you, and you're not seeing it. When we are fully enlightened, we will no longer have any desire to meddle with the world in any way. However, the body will still have desires. There'll be the requirement to eat, the requirement to go to the washroom, the requirement to sleep. See, the hunger is... Hunger... Uh-huh. So the body has hunger, which is a normal desire for food, a very natural thing. However, the mind will now create a desire for pizza, for macaroni, and things like that. That's a very different and distinct type of desire. An arahant or someone who is enlightened does not have that type of desire anymore. Or sleepiness. Sleepiness is something of the body, but laziness, though, is something of the mind. If we practice until the end, all that will be left will be desires of the body, but the mind will be free. It won't have this master ordering us all day and all night like the rest of us do. He says Thai people, he doesn't know if Westerners or have this issue, but he says a lot of Asian people, when they can't sleep at night because they're too hungry, and then they get in their car and go get some noodle soup in the middle of the night, right? The mind is greedy. So if we're able to learn the truth of the body and the mind, actually, all of us are able to do this. The only thing is that we neglect to do it. That's all. We're all able to do it. So the essence of Buddhism is about learn. The study of Buddhism is about learning ourselves, about seeing the workings of our body, our bodies and mind. Let's not believe that Buddhism is about holding the mind still or keeping the mind peaceful or calm in meditation. When the mind is feeling happy or pleasant, just know that it is. Don't meddle with it. If there's a liking or a craving that comes up, then just know that. If there is an unpleasant feeling that comes up, know that. Don't meddle with it. Then if we don't like that feeling, then know that we don't like it and don't meddle with that. It's the disliking with it that's going to cause us to struggle to try and make things better and make our lives difficult. So practice coming to see our own feelings and emotions very often. We see this, we like it, we know that we like it. We see that, we don't like it, know that we don't like it. Somebody's telling us a story, and we like it, know that the heart is liking it. We listen to somebody telling a story, we don't like it, there's a come to see that the heart is not liking it. We eat this, we like it, know it. We eat this, we don't like it, know it. Know the liking and disliking. Know in a very natural and normal way. In the end, we will see that all feelings that come and go are temporary things. All these things that we like and don't like, they're all temporary things. Everything that we hear is impermanent. Every taste is impermanent. Everything we see is impermanent. Everything that touches or our body feels is impermanent. Every thought that we have is impermanent and then goes away. If we see that everything just comes and goes, then we won't eventually won't have this liking this one and disliking that one going on anymore. It won't have this desire to run away from negative states because it knows its true characteristic, that it's dissolving. When happiness arises, the mind likes it. And we have the wisdom that sees that this is just a temporary state. And then the liking of the happiness comes up, and that is also a temporary state. When we truly understand that happiness or a pleasant feeling is temporary, then there won't be the liking or craving of it after it arises, because that liking or craving wants to keep that happy state. Then we're free. When we're able to, our heart will be free when we don't meddle with mental and physical phenomena. When we're finally able to let go of the body and the mind, we will see very clearly that we have always been a slave until now. The goal of Buddhism is liberating from impurities, from defilements. The mind that isn't a slave, that is free of impurity and defilement, is happy and bright within itself. When we are a slave, there is no way that we can have any lasting type of happiness. But when we're free, we are free. And the happiness of freedom. This isn't just a shallow study, the study of Buddhism, that we can make our minds peaceful or calm temporarily. Now, knowing in Buddhism is what it's all about, but it's not knowing as far as conceptual knowledge. It's not about analyzing or thinking and using reason and logic. This is not true understanding. This is not real knowledge in the Buddhist sense. Thinking about within our own framework, thinking about remembering what we've learned and applying it and comparing it. Instead of doing all this, come to study the true Buddhism. Come to see the feelings that come up in our heart, the emotions that come up in our heart, the feelings that come up in our body, the movement of the body. When we start watching this, we'll see that whatever comes up, we will either like it or not like it or be neutral towards it. Then we start to see the liking, the not liking, until the mind becomes impartial to what arises. When we're truly enlightened, there won't be any partiality to whatever arises or falls. And so there won't be any struggle or suffering that results from whatever is there. So those that truly want to understand the essence of Buddhism, then understand what is going on within yourself. Don't be fooled by the defilements of mind. See them. Well, see, we look at this thing, it looks nice, we like it. We look at this thing, it doesn't look nice, we don't like it. We hear somebody saying this, somebody saying that, hearing this or that story. We like this one, we don't like that one. We smell something, like it, don't like it. We feel this or that with our body. We feel this. We feel happy. We feel this with our body. We feel unhappy. Or the flavors. Right? There's this flavor, we like it, we feel happy. There's this flavor, we give it a low value, we don't like it. Thinking, our own thinking. We think about this, we feel happy. We think about that, we feel unhappy. When the eyes see, when the ears hear, when the nose smells, when the tongue tastes, or when the body feels, or when the mind thinks, these are the six channels that we make contact with through the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind. Don't force the mind to not make contact with these things. Allow your mind to make contact with these things. Some people try to create emptiness, a realm of emptiness in their heart and hold their mind there. All you get is calmness from this, and you're hiding from the world when you do this. So we're not going to prohibit the mind from seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking. We allow the mind to do this, but once we make contact with the world through these channels, the heart feels happy from it, we know so. The heart feels unhappy from it, we know so. The heart likes it, we know so. Doesn't like it, we know so. Know in a very relaxed way. Don't hold your attention or focus in on the mind and wait for what's going to happen. Okay, here's an example. Close your eyes and feel in your heart, right? Hold your attention to your heart. What's going to come next? See that this is totally unnatural. This isn't natural. True Dhamma, totally ordinary and natural. Open your eyes and we just allow the mind to do whatever it does. Allow the mind to see, to hear, to smell, and all these things. Let our senses make contact with the world, and then feelings will naturally occur in our heart and we come to know what's there. So we have to allow the feeling to arise first before we are able to notice what it is that arises. When we allow the feeling to happen first and then see that it is there, we'll start to see the truth that everything is temporary. Happiness, unhappiness, temporary. All positive and negative emotions and feelings, all negative, all temporary. And even concentration is temporary. If we feel calm for a while, that's calmness is temporary. An event, and when we come back into the world, we'll find that the heart still can have stress. Once the heart sees completely that there is, that everything is temporary and fully accepts it, there'll be no more struggle anymore. There'll be the happiness of complete freedom. So let's keep practicing and we'll be truly liberated and have a true, genuine peace. The world doesn't have true peace. The world doesn't have genuine peace. We can only find it in our own hearts from our practice. It comes from the heart that has wisdom, that understands and is not fooled by the world. The body is old, ill, dying. The one who is enlightened doesn't struggle with this at all. There's no suffering with regards to these truly natural states. Even if the whole world is going to blow up, there'll be no suffering with regards to it. So allow yourself to open your heart. Don't just be stuck in your thoughts and analyzing what he's saying. See what is actually there. Don't put your mind or subdue your mind into a peaceful state. It basically has the same value as a busy mind in the sense of true wisdom. Okay. He says it's time now to go eat. And it's time for the break in a moment. We're just letting the monks set up first, pay our respects to them, and then we'll be leaving the hall.